And welcome to the Molecast.
We have no idea what to say next because this is our first one. So anybody want the chat?
We have no.
Use your words, Carrot.
This is primarily going to be an X-Wing chat with a lot of bullshit and language. Fuck.
Fuck you.
But yeah, so we're going to be talking about X-Wing and a bunch of other bullshit. Today we had a 5-on-5 game with each person having 150 points.
Oh.
750 in total, both sides. There was a lot of pew pew pew. And the Imperials had a glorious victory over the Rebel scum.
I was dead in fire.
Yes.
And yet your sacrifice was worthy, and the Emperor does not thank you for it because you just died.
Like a bitch.
Yeah, the Empire cleaned house, basically. I fucked up Hera. I did not fly her appropriately.
I think you'll find that I fucked up Hera.
Oh my.
I flew Hera terribly. Let me put it that way.
Because yeah, no one else doesn't go that direction.
No. The first round engagement with the horror that is the Tantive.
Wow.
I don't know. My section survived and I could put up shields again, which was great. And then the second volley took it down. Basically, it gave me an extra turn. So
yeah.
It's hardcore, but I was expecting it. And thankfully, it was only one of the raiders, not two of them.
So yes, I feel like you jumped the gun a little bit. And nobody knows what you actually flew. So just talking out of context means nothing to people.
I had a giant raider. It was 150
so
point
So Imperial
raider.
Team-wise, yes. There were two raiders. Mm. I was flying one of them. Dylan was flying the other.
It's true.
We also had a team of elites. That Fish was flying.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Aces.
Aces in spades.
Yes, many aces.
We were also flying a TIE Swarm, which Carrot was busy flying on his side.
Grand total of 8 TIE FOs.
8 TIE FOs, so a TIE First Order Swarm. And what else did we have? We had some mercenary scum in the form of Boba Fett and some TIE SFs.
3 SFs, we had Quick Draw, Backdraft, and an Omega Specialist.
I'm glad I found out now what happened on that side of the table because I wasn't paying any attention.
The game was so excessive that the left side of the table didn't know what the right side of the table was doing and right for vice versa.
Yeah, they were kind of like their own games going on there.
There were 3 games.
Rebels-wise, we had a heavily outkitted Tantive with Rourke
Garnet.
Yeah, as its backup, letting it shoot first. I had Hera, Etan Abnett, Shara Bay, and then Hera had Zeb chilling along with her. We had
a Rebel Swarm this side.
Yes, 3 X-Wings, or 2 X-Wings, a T-70 X-Wing, and 2 Wookiee gunships.
Not much.
And I believe our last team was a Hawk, Captain Nim,
it wasn't Miranda, it was SQ
Isage Tende.
Yeah, that guy.
The one that was focused.
The reason for him was that the Tantive could spend its focus tokens.
Sneaky.
Yes, it was.
That's teamwork right there.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, that's literally what it was. We synergized that really well.
That makes me sad because that's what the Tantive was there for. Well, what the My Raider was there for with the, what you call it?
Moff Tarkin?
Grand Moff Tarkin, who was supposed to remove it at range 1-4. Too bad that ship was never within range 4.
See, it never made it.
I had Shara Bay and Etan to support our harpoon ships, and none of our harpoons stuck. Just they all failed.
Good
it was
job,
absolutely vile.
My harpoons on the other side blew lots of things up.
Captain Nim managed to land 2 hits and 2 crits on my TIE FO, who had an evade token, a focus token, and then rolled 1 evade and 2 focuses. So all 4 hits gone.
What
harpoons?
A TIE FOs can get the hell out of the way.
I had that attack with Hera that did 3 crits to your FO and you just dodged them all. That was, that was depressing.
That's what TIE fighters are great.
Long story short, the FOs were amazing.
Yeah, pretty much.
And by the end of the day, 3 of them had still survived.
Something's wrong.
After soaking up, I have no idea how many reds.
Didn't you have 5 survive? Or did you lose 5?
Let's see. For the C-Rock took down the first one in the first engagement.
Also, you also have to remember that Carrot lost a TIE fighter by giving it to me to fly.
And then he took the TIE fighter and went, that Tantive, I'm taking it.
He went straight on the gunship.
To be fair, the Emperor did kind of tell him to do it. He was like, you TIE pilot,
and take to be fair,
and he died.
But it took that Tantive two turns of focus fire on that TIE fighter to kill it. Beautiful.
Not designed for killing small ships.
Kids, the Imperial Greens were just disgusting.
Kids, if you want a safe vehicle out in space, get a TIE-FO. It will evade everything.
Just remember to wear your vac suit, otherwise there's no atmosphere. Good luck.
Yeah, you'll suffocate to death.
I'm interested in Fisher's team because it was on the other side of the table. And
it was. Not only was it on the other side of the table, but I didn't realize we were going into such detail, and I described them earlier as many aces.
Yes.
So,
yes.
What I was actually flying was Darth Vader, and Sinterfell, and Carnal Jax, and Whisper, and my Whisper had a pilot skill 9 as well, with veteran instincts, so they were all like super aces, and I basically spent the entire game fighting Kevin's Rebel Swarm with his Wookiee gunships and the X-Wings.
Yeah.
Kevin's good with the swarms.
No, that's Kevin's MO.
Except today, where they could not dodge a single bullet.
Do you know how you beat Kevin's swarms?
Lots shoot of bullets at power. Them, it turns out.
Yeah. Ruthlessness.
Ooh.
Ruthlessness does make it very on both my leaders. The first one exploded.
Ah, oh, you should have faced Kevin.
And the second one landed at once.
But the thing is, the...
Hello,
the...
Ziggs. Yes, you can take part two.
Ziggs is a cat.
The cat has joined the podcast.
The cat has left the podcast.
He did not play it.
The thing with the Rebel Swarm is it can split up quite capably, and each ship is pretty capable on its own. The Imperial Swarms tend to have to stay together a little bit. So if he's against a Ruthlessness list, he could actually pretty easily split up and not worry about it too much.
True story.
That's what, fly them at range 2, and it's,
yeah, that's
fine.
What got me in the event at
the Swarm Leader
Warzone, is he split up the Swarm, and I couldn't deal with it.
You see, I believe you can also split up a TIE Swarm just as easily. It's just your maneuverability.
With Swarm Leader, you only have to be at range 3. So
that
you
depends
can
on your
that.
TIE Swarm, depends on what you lose, Alistair. Some, not all TIE Swarms run HAL Runner, this, that standard.
HAL Runner.
For example, the
that's
TIE
true,
Swarm
that
we had, yeah.
That they can actually end up splitting up. It just literally depends on your TIE Swarm.
I'm a first order fanboy. I love my SFs and I love my FOs. I like my two-letter TIE fighters.
Hey, dude, they gave us the Raider. They gave us a whole word there, and I'm a fan.
Yeah. How long that Raider last?
Three turns.
Long enough.
Three turns!
And you know what the best thing about those 3 turns are?
Yeah.
Those are 3 turns that everything else was killing the rest of your friends with.
you
shot
say
fired.
That. But I feel literally. Like in those 3 turns, I killed a single Wookiee gunship.
But you killed something.
In those three turns,
it's
I killed
four turns.
Oh,
I have to be honest. With my one Corvette, I locked down 2 Raiders for quite a while.
Actually, most of the game.
Yeah, no, the whole game.
The whole game. That was the entire game.
Well,
and
technically, he was only doing it to one at a time.
Yeah. Greg's one took a bit too get engaged.
Oh, we forgot the scum element to the Rebels.
So the Rebels were entirely not capable enough to take us on their own, so they had to hire some scum.
Yeah, we were missing a member. So the scum player brought...
The Sea-Rock?
Yeah, the Sea-Rock, Dengar, Sirisu...
And Major Jonas?
Captain
Jostero. Yeah, whatever. Scum Rebel
Dengar. And I think that was it.
Some scum that was it, but I have to say that Sea-Rock is a sexy-ass ship.
Oh, yeah.
It
looks cool.
Looked even better when it was crushing one of its own co-pilots.
Yes.
just steamrolled through Isu.
So Dengar executed poorly and landed on a rock, which made everything else knock off to that.
Traffic jam.
Because he could have barrel-rolled away from it, but now he's on a rock. He took a damage. Then Sarasu crashed into him, and then the croc went ever so slightly, just stepped on it.
No.
I don't remember the croc doing much.
Oh,
it missed.
Fired a lot of harpoons. It killed the TIE fighter
in the opening TIE fighters.
Yeah, but
Harpoons, okay. Man. It could fire a harpoon every turn.
But the harpoons...
Out of all the harpoon attacks, one landed. That first one that took out my first PS4.
I had to kill the other TIEs.
Just plain more violence. Guns. Everybody shot... So in the first 3 rounds, I lost one TIE off like 8 or 9 attacks.
But remember, the Sea-Rock could only fire the harpoons.
Yeah.
So we could not get the harpoons to stick.
Oh, sorry, the scum player killed three of my ships.
Yeah, not with support of the punishing.
The Sea Rock kept on shooting at TIE FOs and not really doing much.
Sea Rock and Nim just could not land their harpoons.
I have to say though, the other problem I found with the Sea Rock is it's missing the auxiliary arcs that actually did help quite a lot with both the Raiders and the Tantives. That I think is actually its biggest.
The Tantives arcs are rubbish. Yeah, like, compared to the Raider,
that's rubbish. Out the side as well as out the front.
Cha-ching. Yeah, it had but a good 180 from the middle, but the back half was useless.
Like, as far as the Raiders arcs go, I found I struggled to get my butt arcs into actual firing range of things because I'm so slow.
you gotta learn how to work your ass.
Yeah. It was the first time I ever floated.
Every now and again, I know you get great bonuses for going straight, but every now and again, just, you know, wiggle a little bit to the left.
Yeah, I needed to turn a bit more.
Yeah. As you saw, I immediately turned because...
We should point out that the remaining Raider and the Tantive eventually just kept ramming each other.
We were towering each other.
Yeah. We got stuck in a ram, which I refused to allow Greg to exit.
You just locked me down well, but you would have died first before me.
So. The idea was that we were supposed to clear out the flank so that then once I've locked you down, the rest of my team could help finish you off.
Same on our side, but we had a lot of extra team to come and help.
Yeah. Which flank were you planning on cleaning up?
he was planning on cleaning up the middle flank, because it was just me.
Important note, we had three mats side by side for this whole event. That's why the left side and the right side had no idea what was going on either side.
I was middle mat, Greg was... Left
sort
to middle
of
mat.
Left to middle, yeah.
But also,
I was on the right mat.
Right mat.
To be fair, left mat... Which is totally in perspective because we're all on the same side.
I was going to say, I wasn't sitting on the left.
Sorry.
Wait.
Imperial left or level left?
No, it's easy. The left mat that we were referring to had Starkiller base on it, and the right mat had Bespin. So
the space in the middle.
Yeah, the swarm engagement was very much on the Bespin side, while the aces engagement was very much on the...
It makes sense. The FOs are great atmospheric fighters.
I have to be honest, on Starkiller Base, it was really just Kevin and I shooting each other.
Yeah.
For most of it, we felt like we were playing a 150 game next to the epic game. It was a very cool background.
You could watch it.
Greg did a drive-by.
I almost shot an iron cannon at one of
Kevin was assaulting Starkiller Base. To try save the day, unfortunately he did not.
On the Battle of Bespin, I kept taking all the fire, and Neville with his Boba and three SFs kept handing out all the fire, essentially.
Unfortunately, Hera...
Great teamwork.
Hera bumped a few too many times and just could not get behind the swarm like she was intended to.
Yeah, well.
The ghost is a...
TIE FOs have surprisingly big butts.
Yeah.
And you cannot lie.
Mm-mm.
You other brothers can't deny.
I can. I wasn't there. I couldn't see it.
Actually, I was there.
I had a big butt. It swang. It's actually quite amazing how the butt of that Raider swings out. It's significant movement for nothing at all.
And if you can get some enemy ships next to it, you can swing it your butt at them like a baseball bat.
Well,
and they explode. That is how Greg took out the torque.
Talking about the Raider's butt... I was terrified of bringing my swarm anywhere near those gigantic ships.
Well, that's why I told you at the very beginning.
Just go away.
So to give you guys an idea, the middle mat is where I started deploying, which was empty space, and Carrot sort of deployed a quarter of the way in. I was on the halfway, and he had a TIE FO at pilot skill 4 right next to the Raider, and he had a squad of TIE FOs. Then he continued on the other side, and I stopped caring. But I looked at this and I went, okay, Carrot, that one over there, he better be going that way. So Carrot looks at me and goes, easy two. I'm like, maybe easy three.
I don't want to have to step on you.
Only because I was doing an easy one.
No, but yeah, after Sean came in, guns literally blazing. I was afraid that Tantive was just going to pick us all off on
purpose. I was amazed at the weight of fire that Tantive put out.
How many reds did you roll on the first round?
First shot was 8, followed by 4, followed by another 4.
Jesus, 16 reds.
16 reds, of which A grand total of 6 of them were converted to crits.
And that was at range 5.
Yes.
See, that's the tough part. I didn't expect it to be that long range. I thought it would hit maybe at like...
No.
2-2.
No.
However, the secret island with the practice epic I had previous weekend to this, I found out, Tantive, yes, it shoots a lot of shots, but then it runs out of energy. And it takes forever to get the energy back, especially if you're taking damage.
Yeah, you can burn through it in two. You got 2 good turns, and then you're going to struggle unless you've upgraded to improve your energy. But unfortunately, I just didn't have the points. There were 2 cards I was particularly missing. Was optimized generators and the Tabana gas supplies, which if I had equipped those, I probably would have been able to just keep the energy levels up, just that level of high enough to keep out a rate of fire. But funny enough, after 2 turns with almost nothing, I didn't need much more.
I did not notice your fire slowing down at all the entire game, so I feel like your energy was sufficient.
You didn't notice it start speeding up.
True.
No, unfortunately, once I got into short range of Greg, I sort of lack the ability to shoot beyond range. More within, I got a range 1-2 donut sort of thing.
So you killed everything nearby you, and then it was disappointing that nothing else was close enough for you to, or far enough away for you to kill.
Yes, actually, Greg was too close.
Nearby him, he means me.
Greg was too close. Yeah. I could no longer fire.
I mean,
upon
I pretty much noticed you didn't have any range 1 guns, but I also didn't.
So I did. I had my little quad gun.
Yeah, same. I've also only got the quad gun, so it was like quad gun battle.
I would definitely say for the first half of the game, it was even. Like for the first 2 rounds of the game, it was all Rebel.
Mm. Yeah.
Then we brought it back even, and then the Imperials just started picking off Rebels.
Something just went one-sided very quickly.
I think it was losing Hera.
On his?
He blocked her, and then she just took, like, all the fire on the port, that ship cannot stand up.
When Hera landed on the rock and took all that fire to death, basically, the entire game on the Bespin side shifted massively.
Yeah.
I also think that I should have spent one of the evades I had earlier on rather than take the shield damage. That might have given me
a little bit more. Always better keep your shields up. It's like you're like, oh, one hit, but then the next guy could roll a crit. But hang on, if you spend the evade now, you got a shield to cancel that crit that he's going to get. So
yeah, I was trying to... she was still going to take a shot from Boba and like 2 other ships, and I was like, I'd better keep this evade, and then it just didn't work out.
Yeah, shield's better.
Yeah.
Well, something I noticed on the Bespin side, though, is after Hera fell, every single one of the rebels ended up landing on asteroids. You guys just decided to.
Yeah, their morale was broken. Yeah. They were just like, it's no longer worth living!
Things did not go well that side.
Wait, Hera did it. It must be a good idea.
I just soaked up damage. I think I rolled 2 evades the whole game.
Yeah. Every single green dice from Kevin's side was blank.
Oh, that's
where I got all my evades. Not even focuses.
Yes.
All not even focuses, just blanks.
Just blanks.
The one time I got round the rolling greens was on my hawk, at which point Greg managed to get 7 criticals through onto its hull.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Wow.
Yes.
By the way, it only took criticals. It never took any normal damage.
There wasn't even any giblets left. It just ceased to exist.
No, there will be disintegrations today.
That's what happens when you get hit with a Macro
Cannon.
Yeah,
fair. I did that to Dylan, so...
Once the Emperor got close enough, he was
actually,
like, I will return the favor.
It took you slightly longer. It
took me 3 turns, yes, but... you didn't have only 4 hole.
It's true.
The game had to be cut for time. That was after 5 hours of play.
Yeah,
and that was a long game.
I was thinking, because at that point, Fish was going to finish off Kev.
Yes. Yeah, the last X-Wing was running away.
And then we were all just going to converge on that Tantive.
Yeah.
Yeah, my entire squad was out. My partner, who I was supporting, his entire squad was out. We only had the scum player left and the Tantive left. So.
Wedge lived till the end.
He was alive at the end.
He was trying to shoot one of the raiders in the butt.
Yeah,
just out of range.
Chasing the raider, not running away from Darth Vader.
No, not at all. Chasing the bigger thing.
It was a highlight for me to see epic ships in action.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And the regenerative capabilities of the shields.
By the end of the game, my shields were at full strength.
And your hull?
My hull was a bit more injured, but notice mostly just kind of kept crashing into Sean.
The shields. I was going to kill him one way or another.
But also that regenerative thing with the shields.
And Greg nearly died.
Another important note, children, you can't breathe coffee.
You can't breathe coffee.
I'd love to.
Turns out it'll kill you.
One of the cool things with the regenerative stuff is Sean was expecting me to dish out my energy before regenerating shields in the front, so I actually had for the next turn of him shooting at me.
But then you didn't get any shots off of me in the first round, which I was also expecting. I wasn't expecting you to get zero shots. I thought you were going to shoot me. And then you didn't, which caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, it was just a turn of free blasting.
that croc was still on full hull and full shields.
No, it had taken one crit.
You stripped two shields from it.
And it had taken a crit when Dylan killed himself upon it.
Yes.
Yeah, however, I do have to say that my favorite surprise that I was told by this both sides of the combat was Fish versus Kevin, because Kevin's like, I wasn't expecting Fish to come straight at my face. Fish was like, I wasn't expecting Kevin to be there.
I really thought Kevin was going to swing in to try and outflank the second raider. And so I thought, no, I'll push past him. And he turned. And he was like, hey, now you're right in front of me. And then he didn't roll any dice.
Oh.
Well, I learned an important lesson about Navigator Hera.
Oh, yes?
Keeper of rocks?
Yeah, keeper of rocks. And also, don't fire against a TIE Swarm because they will block you.
The Swarm is making a comeback, people. This is my gospel. There are too many big ships with massive amounts of damage and low evade.
Yes.
So when a swarm rocks up, all of a sudden they're like, okay, you're going to pick off one of us, and the other ones are already going to pick you.
Characters are wrong. There's a very lean in the meta towards Fen Ghost. The Fen Ghost.
Yes.
So he's not wrong there. He's got
I fly.
Kill Fen first.
Was there a Fen on the table today?
No.
Good. Screw him.
There's also harpoons to worry about.
Yes.
Yeah. Unless you can evade them with four evades.
That's true.
Yeah, we must have shot Swarm.
And weirdly, he had no aces or anybody modifying, so he could just put up four harpoons.
Yeah.
We must have shot five harpoons and like hit one.
Yeah, Mike's first one killed me. And after that, it was just like, you know what? The rest of them
The rest of the pilots looked at what happened to that. One guy went, no.
You go over there.
We just could not land the harpoons, and my team was entirely built as a support structure for the harpoon ships.
That's the thing we put,
and just wouldn't work. Nothing. None of
we put all our eggs in that harpoon basket,
and
none of them stuck.
All I'm saying is make sure that your harpoons aren't neon pink next time, and we won't see them.
If we had just thrown some gunboats with harpoons, all those would have hit.
I had infinite harpoons, and those worked because I took out your support, the corvette support ships with them.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I just had so much trouble landing
because you were fighting ties, man.
Because he was ties with three greens and lots of mods.
Yeah. Because you didn't have the Emperor,
and I was shooting them at hawks, which are like evade. I'm gonna shoot
two green dice. Yeah.
Shoot crap! We missed that day at the academy.
Mm-hmm. At this point, I also have to say the leadership on the Imperial side was also a little bit more up to scratch because we had the Emperor, Darth Vader, and Grand Moff Tarkin. We had the elites there. You guys had pretty much a whole bunch of rebel scum.
And Hera.
And
Colonel Jax. She's a general, for God's sake.
No, she's not. She's rebel.
And Colonel Jax, who was also once the Emperor. A very short time.
Yeah.
So was Sunter, hey? Sunter was an Emperor for a period.
There you go.
We had multiple Emperors. What did you have? A whole bunch of smelly people.
But on that same topic, you guys had a lot more coordination and support between your
synergy was way stronger.
That's
what we had.
On our side of the mat, we had fantastic synergy between me and Neville, mostly because people shot at me and he shot at them. The teamwork was amazing because I had the greens and he had the reds.
I was trying to keep Neville from engaging Hera because Boba, I was not going to come off the victor of a straight up fight between Hera and Boba. But again, you blocked me from getting out of Boba.
Your biggest mistake was letting her go gently to the right.
Yeah.
With the asteroids in front of you, because then your movement was absolutely predictable. You couldn't go right, you would hit the rocks. You couldn't go straight, you were going to go left.
I considered dialing in a...
go straight over the rocks?
No, a turn. So I would turn and then go against...
a hard turn would have landed you on the rocks right. Left, that's what I was blocking.
Yeah, I should have gone left with a hard three, possibly. But I banked on getting the navigator to the navigator bonus to get me out of the asteroids, but it just did not work out like that.
And then your ass got owned.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't work. But yeah, shit happens, man.
Yeah,
shit happens.
You learn from your mistakes. I should have dialed in a turn there. That was
maybe didn't learn from mistake, and that is don't stay range 5 of a Corvette.
No.
Because you will die.
The mistake here was there was no mistake. We won.
Okay, well.
We went with the aim of winning and we won, so...
Ha! Joke's on you! Our goal was to kill Dylan! And we... I turned 3!
Into the truck!
Hero was just a distraction!
We killed the leadership for me.
The one
we killed Mothlogan.
I really liked in your guys' list was the initiative changing of the epic ships. That's quite clever.
Completely unexpected.
Because normally you only operate at 4 or 1,
yeah.
And you were pumping it up to 12.
And 9.
And 9. So, 12 and 9.
So yeah. I think that's what I would change is in my list I'd probably try and squeeze in like a elite equivalent of like Darth Vader or someone high pilot skill with the shifting of the
Swarm tactics,
that's it.
The biggest problem was with Mike. His entire team was pretty good.
Yes.
But they all had to keep very close quarters, which means they were all kind of attacking one ship around instead of spreading it out because they had to stay close for that one so that Dengar could share his 9.
Yes.
I think if I were to adjust my list, I don't think I'd put Auto Blaster on Hera. I would maybe go with TLT or something similar. Because the Auto Blaster, I didn't get into range 1. That was the problem. I could not get into range 1 to get... And the big power from that Ghost build is the... double tapping of the turret, and I just could not get into range to do that.
The only time you were in range 1 is when you parked on the rock.
Exactly. So I'd definitely change her to TLT or something similar.
That's one of the big problems with the Auto Blaster.
Yeah.
They're super effective against those aces, but then, or even the TIE Swarm, everything, but then your opponent just goes, okay, no,
it's
I'm going to fly away
three.
Now.
Yeah.
It's
I'm
going to
stay at 2, because you only have 0 of 8.
It's quite good at the... if you put the Auto Blaster on the shuttle, when the shuttle spits out, you chase them down with Auto Blaster.
Ah, yes.
That works quite well, but...
But the shuttle doesn't have accuracy created, does it?
No, it can't.
No. But the thing with Hera is her dial is so unpredictable. You literally, to run away from her is next to impossible.
You can,
because her ability to reassign a dial, she can change... If she assigns a green or a red maneuver, she can change her dial to any other green or red maneuver, and...
With
as long as the same color, and then with Navigator, she can change it to any. She can change the speed of the.
So so if you dial in a green straight one, you've literally dialed in every straight and every turn on your every bank on your dial.
Yeah.
The only thing you can't dial in is the turns and the K turn into
what,
a single.
What pilot skill is she?
7. She has no EPT, so she can't equip.
So
she can't
She's an elite pilot, in my opinion.
Yeah, she's like
the
most
elite pilot. I can see why they didn't give the Ghost EPTs because
thought about balance.
No, Ghost pilots don't know how to learn new things. They're very rebels.
They're set in their ways.
No, it's quite annoying because Hera on the shuttle has an EPT.
There we go.
And so does Kanan on the shuttle has an EPT.
I think
but on the Ghost, I think they did it for balance because I feel like that ship would actually just get
the
a little
Ghost
bit out of
is too big to get funky with stuff.
There's been a few times when I've been like, oh, Predator would be
it's,
so perfect on this.
It's
but
probably
no.
justified as like, there's a whole crew on the Ghost, you see. So like, you can't have an elite pilot talent because everyone has to do a thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I was going to say we need a pilot equivalent of her on the Defender because that would be amazing.
Can we draft her?
Evil hair. And she's got a goatee.
That's how you know she's evil.
We have clone technology. Let's do this.
It's either the goatee or the Fu Manchu.
Yes.
Either or. I would
so if it's an evil girl, would she just have a lower back tattoo maybe?
No. She'll have a Fu Manchu.
Lower
back tattoo of a beard.
That's weird.
As a random aside, it's such a pet peeve of mine when people dial in the white 4K when they are flying...
Defenders?
What's her name in the Defender?
Riot.
Countess Riot. Because you can dial in a green K-turn. A green 4K turn on your Riot. But everyone always dials in the white K-turn.
Just so you know, I do it specifically for this reaction.
But
and when you're not stressed, why? You don't need to worry about the green.
Still.
Also, if I do the white 4K, and then I do the white 4K, and the next turn I do a green K, you're just going to go... fuck you, and then give up on life. And that makes me happier.
I don't give up that easy. It's just a pet peeve.
Okay, I don't know, Alice.
Shut up, Sean.
Well, yeah. But I think it was a pretty interesting game overall. There was lots of cool shit going on.
It was exciting. It was crazy. Any type of build you wanted to fly was fully functional.
Yes. If we do a rematch, I'm definitely shifting away from supporting the turret.
No, there are no friends. Look at what the Imperials did. There are no friends there, but we kicked ass.
The whole part of the reason my list failed was just because the Harpoons did nothing, and my list was, other than Hera, a support structure for the Harpoons, which did nothing.
I think we need to change that up.
Did you build your team to support somebody else's team?
Yes.
That was your failure, right there.
Yes, I think Dan's stuff was just right for me, because like adding that focus token had an extra shot for me. He didn't spend many points in it, and I told him to keep it as low as possible. Although he put one too many upgrades on that K-Wing, then I told him to keep it a lot lower.
What was the upgrade he didn't?
He put Bomblet Generator on it when he should put it on NIM, because NIM went straight into the TIE Swarm, and Bomblet Generator is really helpful.
I thought that was the plan in the first place, to put the Bomblet Generator on NIM.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He had some really good opportunities to bomb that Hawk.
Yeah. Every turn he could have got that.
But anyway, the stuff went on to the... But I think there we were doing okay. But yeah, I think we do need to relook at our loadouts and stuff. Yeah.
I think I'd swap out Etan for another ship. I'm pretty skilled.
Yeah, I'm not convinced he was good. Like, no, he did. It was nice to add crits in there, but like, it didn't really help.
But once again, that would have worked if the Harpoons were sticking.
If the Harpoons had hit, Etan would have been brutal. But they didn't hit, so I would swap him out for maybe Braylon, or something like that. Something I have the skill to fly, because Etan as well. That was part of the issue was. I'm not experienced with the E-Wings.
The E-Wing is actually a surprisingly tricky ship, because it fills a weird role between the A-Wing and the X-Wing.
Yes.
So, and it makes it weirdly tricky. It's sort of a cross between the two.
On the Imperial side, we sort of built ourselves as individual cells, complementary, but nobody relied on anyone else.
Since my list was completely support, when there was nothing to support, my list didn't do anything.
Well, yeah, and you went out, and the person you were supporting didn't have his support, so his plan also fell apart.
Whereas on the one side, the support worked quite nicely in burning away a raider quite quickly.
It was your team supporting your team.
Yeah.
So that was your build solo. It worked.
We needed the K-Wing to give out focus.
Yeah, the K-Wing was important. Like, and Jan Orr's extra red dice. You can't say no to extra red dice.
I definitely screwed up the setup, because I tried to put Shara Bay between the two Harpoon ships, and it turned out, we found out once the fighting started, Shara was actually just out of range for the other Harpoon ship, and I was like, fuck.
When you measured that three, was it?
Yeah, I was like, fuck, I misplaced her. And that was a poor, poor move on my part.
That's right, you're only human.
What was the final score again?
I have it here.
It was 544 losses to the rebels and...
Well, it was 544 points for us.
Yeah, and 211 for them.
Okay, so it was a bit of a smash.
Yeah.
You got it a little bit wrong. It's 551 for the Empire, 244 for the Rebels.
Okay,
it was still more than double then.
Yeah, it wasn't close.
It definitely wasn't close.
So the Empire struck back. Nobody. We hit them back first.
We've just got to be careful. Actually, if we play another game, it might be Return of the Jedi. So we've got to be like,
no, guys. Let's not name it by movies. It is Imperial Domination Day.
I want to play Rogue One next.
To be fair, the Rebels hit us so hard on turn one. The Empire did strike back.
No. They didn't hit us. They hit me.
Dylan, your new name is us. Quickly, they're hitting us.
We accept this.
Something I also thought was pretty interesting is that table on the far side where Alistair and the Bespin, where it's a battle of the TIE Swarms and Alistair and Boba Fett and whatever else was happening on there. It was so busy. There were so many ships on that table. I think my squad that did so well against Kevin would have just popped one by one. There would be nowhere for me to evade to arc dodge.
So you would have had maneuverability.
I thought that played quite nicely into Carrot's hand there.
My plan was with my low pilot skill, I move, I get my action, you hit me, screw you.
Carrot played the swarm really well, because he kept them spread out. they were relatively together, but they were spread out across the board, so there wasn't really any clear maneuvering lines.
It was
for us.
Only in the last turn where I actually had Ties hitting Ties, because I had focused so much on going in for the Sea Rock. Everybody's pointing in the same direction. Up until then, I had not had a single ship bump another ship, and I was flying eight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
yeah.
nice.
That was,
nice flying.
It was very nice flying, but also just the no maneuverability. I don't think he would survive the second there, Fish.
No,
I was just like, now I can't fly anywhere because there's a pile of tides in my way.
But that's why at when I got to place my ships at Pilot Skill 8, I said, and I'm going on the other side.
Yeah, and
that and Hera was there.
That and Hera was there in the coast with the Order Blaster.
Neville and I coordinated beautifully. The only hit that happened with the ones we planned for. Go, okay. If you're here, you already have a focus token and a target lock. It doesn't matter.
However, I really, really wish I could have gotten the Raider there. I don't care if it was TIE Fighter, Rebel Scum ship. Just fly. Just fly.
I don't even want to shoot. I just want to step on you.
I won't lie. Running over the Hawk was quite satisfying.
There was a second one.
Hmm?
There was a second crushing.
Croc crushed his buddy.
He crushed his own guy. But I actually crushed an enemy Hawk. So like, when the second he ended his move there, I'm like, oh, you did it, did you? You're going to regret doing
that.
You've
been waiting for that
bad day.
Really?
That was Daniel's Hawk.
Yeah, but who was the pilot in that Hawk?
Dan Ors. He was giving me an extra red dice on the Tantive.
Oh, so here's the thing. Dan was supporting him and you were supporting Dan. Nobody was in your corner.
I don't know.
No,
I was
supporting your own dude.
No, Dan dropped some big ships that dropped like Nim, and he dropped another ship that side too.
Yeah, he dropped Nim and
Lurik
there. And I was also supposed to be supporting the Sea Rock, but like I said, I sort of placed her just a little bit out of her.
And you don't
want
to get close to the epic ships. That's just asking for trouble.
So, yeah, but he could do it at range too, so.
Yeah, so like I said, I didn't measure the range when I placed it, and that was, I eyeballed it, and I shouldn't do that.
That may have actually also contributed to your guy's loss, was he'd split his forces, so he couldn't focus on fighting, he had to focus on fighting on two fronts.
Yeah.
So he had to keep it in his head, what everything was doing, whilst all of us were just fighting on one front. So he could literally just concentrate on, okay,
these
are the ships in my area, I'm doing them.
We relied too much on a support structure between our lists, and the fact the harpoons didn't hit, that meant my support was useless.
I could probably do with losing the generals, the extra red dice a turn, because there's only one extra red dice, but those focus tokens really helped.
Yeah,
like,
focus
was
crazy. You need that.
The focus on the big ships, like, wow, that really bloody helped. Target lock focus on an 8 dice attack.
Hell
yes.
It's a nice feeling losing a ship and just not caring.
Yeah.
No, it's a swarm.
I have also what I think next time, the lesson I did learn is, oh look, that's a Tantive. Oh look, it's got a whole bunch of support ships. Blow them all up. Then face the Tantive, because you'll only have lost one of your sections.
And
went
you'll
for the glory
be
shot.
Within range that its massive guns won't be shredding you anymore.
Exactly.
It was a fun day. It was a surprising day. Ask the other people. I've burned green dice, and today they all just listened.
Yeah, just we could not land any hits against the flippant ice swarm. But it was a great day, definitely. I learned some lessons about flying Navigator Hera, which is always good. I always consider it a bit of a positive game when you can learn something from flying.
Yeah. And I think from here, well, good day. Everybody had fun. From here on, I think we can do a quick little bit on the upcoming ships.
The fucking
we've got the T-65 fix as foretold in prophecies.
Fucking hell, that is going
to
be amazing.
I have to buy the upgrade kit because I have to own all the X-Wings, but I feel it's very sad that they're making me buy a U-Wing at the same time.
This will be my second one.
I actually like
the
U-Wing.
As in, I'm not a rebel pilot. I just want the X-Wing. Why do I have to buy
in the U-Wing's defense? Damn it, that's a beautiful ship.
It is a fucking sexy ship.
I really, really like the paint scheme of the Renegades one.
Saul.
The black and white one.
Black
and
white.
I originally thought it was Saul, S-A-U-L, when I saw Rogue One.
Okay.
I was like, Saul, oh, like...
Oh, Saul. Saul Guerrera.
Not Saul Guerrera.
At the first Google, it's like, Saul Guerrera. You mean Saul Guerrera? I do?
Do I?
But I mean, I was talking to Kevin before we started the actual, like, battle. His outmaneuver wedge build is just going to be
it goes from 33 points to 29 or something retarded.
And he's already a decent ship, and it's just going to be absolutely brutal.
Also, the nice thing is you can integrate the astromech
and
then take
the
another modification.
See, for me, the big winners is going to be the new pilot, the number pilot skill 7, the Kulabi
what's this?
Speeder dude.
Does he shoot womp rats?
Colby Sperado.
Sperado.
I
like a desperado. Speeder dude.
Speeder dude. Speeder dude.
Like when he does a boost or a barrel, he flips his servo motors. So you flip it before you at the start of activation. So what you do is you dial in a green a two bank, which is green when they're closed. Then at start of activation in place, you flip them so that they're closed. Do a green two, clear your stress or whatever, or regen a shield depending
action
if you've got R2. No, it's not an action because it's at the start of your activation phase, you flip them. Then he's got push the limit, so you boost because it gives you a boost while they're closed. Which after a boost, he then flips them open because that's his pilot ability, and then blast somebody with that because he can then target lock or focus after that. And that's even though do a barrel roll because now they're open and I can do a barrel roll as well. It's going to give the X-Wings a huge boost.
Yeah.
And weirdly for me, the other big winner is Porkins. Porkins. Porkins can now talon roll, target lock and focus you, and come out with no stress.
Because he ate it all. Because he thought it looked like pizza.
Kevin, what
is the build for that?
Yes, that's what I was going to ask. What's the outmaneuver wedge of?
At the moment, I've got wedge outmaneuver R2-D2 integrated astromech.
Yeah, but now you basically you're dropping the you're removing the cost of the outmaneuver. So
yeah, so
you're dropping 3 points because minus two for the torpedo slot.
Yeah.
And it reduces your EPT by one. It's not as cool as the Kiraz's upgrade.
Yeah.
But fuck me, is it
get a second modification slot as well. Which
compared to the three on the Kiraz, but I mean fuck
it. You know.
I'm not complaining
even stronger than the Kiraz upgrade.
Yeah, that upgrade on its own is not. Because the Kiraz one reduces all of your upgrades by 1 point. And gives you 3 modification slots.
I'm just thinking of them both together with the wings and the
upgrade. You'd be stupid not to fly it with both.
Essentially,
upgrades.
Both auto includes on all X.
Yes.
They might as well have just made it one card.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I think together it is so strong. Like, especially the fact that X wings can
boost
can and barrel.
Torpedo.
Like,
I kind of like.
Feels a bit overpowered
to
me.
I also kind of like these upgrades that these fix upgrades that essentially take away a slot. So the Charadon refit, this Renegade retrofit, and the X7 upgrade. I feel it's really cool to give up your slots for cheaper ships.
You have to look at it. It's upgrades that you're not using.
Yeah, exactly.
The amount of times I've played T-65s and I've not used torpedoes.
How many times have you put torpedoes or rockets on an A-Wing?
Exactly.
Proton rockets. I used to see that shockingly often, and opponents were not happy with it. Because every now and again, you slide the range around and you're like, hey. Take 5 dice. I've outmaneuvered you.
I'm running that pilot skill 6 Arnold Cryard, I think his name is, which is the if you can declare a trip, you're touching your target. So you run him as a lovely trap where I've bumped you. I've got your target
locked and focused.
And here's a deliberate saying, I'm a swap.
Yeah, my favorite state is Jake Farrell, Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake.
I give him push the limit and that exhaustion one.
Intensity.
What action do you want to do? Because you can do them all.
Yeah, pretty much.
With Jake the Snake, I usually just go outmaneuver, push the limit.
That's what
I'm going to
say at the moment.
You just slide up behind the guy and you're like, hey, have a proton rocket up a tailpipe.
No, thank you.
So
it's good.
They're bringing out a T-65 fix. How are they going to fix my TIE fighters now?
Yeah. This ship may have no modifications, minus 2 to the build.
There we go. 10 point, I can fly.
But
wait,
Cannon fodder
title.
I don't know. See, the thing is, the TIE fighter, what really requires them to actually upgrade a ship is really going to not feature in, like at a Worlds or something.
You mean like an interceptor?
Yes, like the TIE interceptor.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And the E-Wing. But
the Corran Horn ship, right?
Yeah, the Corran Horn.
Yeah.
Corran Horn. But if I suppose he's probably why it hasn't been fixed yet. But if you look at the X-Wing, it was only Biggs until they nerfed Biggs, and that was it. People stopped flying them completely.
On Meta Wing, it was just above half, the X-Wing now, the T-65.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if Strezra is going to get a nerf.
It was pretty rubbish at that point, so they fixed it. And the problem with the TIE fighter is actually the Academy pilot. It's not all the name pilot. It's your fucking academy pilot.
It's too expensive.
No. He is so dirt cheap that he makes it in the lists here and there.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. You got 12 points, fucking throw in an academy.
When was the last time we saw any of those name TIE fighters?
That brings me to the Sheathapeed. The Sheathapeed cost to use it.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, my last tournament list, I literally threw a Sheathapeed in because I had 15 points to
It's
pay.
Number one on Metawing. It is the most used ship in the game right now.
Fenrau and Ezra are...
No, the Sheathapeed.
The Sheathapeed. Because it's cheap and it is fantastic numbers and abilities.
Yeah,
and
it has butt guns, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It has two arcs.
I fly Strezra a lot and he's just absurd. Like, when he's stressed, he's essentially got a free focus on all his evades. He is so hard to get damage to stick to. And then obviously Fen's a completely different monster.
Tie Defender, Rex Labrath, Range 1, Focus Token, Proton Rockets, that's how I make damage stick.
Well, yes.
But you get my point. When it comes down to...
So I can give it.
Basically, you have to... His ability to cancel to your damage each turn is so fucking annoying.
And it's reliable. It's unless you blank out, it's very, very reliable. You're going to be cancelling at least one damage.
Out of 54 ships, it currently finds itself at number 38 on the list.
The
T-75. The T-65, I'm looking forward to.
Okay, good.
there is an actual... No, is it a T-80?
It's T-80. Poe flies one apparently somewhere in a comic book.
Oh, really?
No, it's not in a comic because there's no pictures exist of the T-80. So.
Well, it's a comic or a book
maybe
or somewhere.
Maybe mentioned or something.
Yeah.
Like, it actually gets mentioned as Poe flies one.
What I find interesting about Metawing currently is that, like, the top... Like, out of the top 10 ships, the top 8 are all Rebel ships.
Out of the top 10.
It's a bit of an issue.
Except for number 6, which is Quick Draw, essentially. Yeah, it's the tiniest Quick Draw. It's Reb. No. There's a scum in the top 10. It's Star Viper.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
Well, that's
just general ships.
This is the ships. Not
okay, gotcha.
The Star Viper, probably because of its nice new upgrades.
Yeah, where's the Alpha class in there? Because everybody's like, it's broken. But if it's not,
the Alpha class
10.
Is actually struggling. And that's nothing wrong with it. Players don't really. Aren't getting the ship.
Take
guys,
the named pilots, they're worth it.
Guys are going with, let's take the dirt cheap ones with harpoons. Mm. And then you find yourself a pilot 2 skill ship. And then you're flying against, say, Miranda or my Poe Nimblist. And I just simply go, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to barrel boost out a firing arc. Mm. That's a nice target lock and harpoons you got. But you're not shooting them. Tough shit.
Number 25, halfway up the list.
The problem is I don't think people are using the ship right. Mm. They got the idea of the ship,
the name
but they're not using
are great.
It.
Those
news are rubbish.
It's my absolutely favorite rubbish ship right now. I love the gunboat, but I just cannot make it work.
Use the name pilots, Kasabi and Vindar were...
Yeah. You're using the new gunships or the rogue gunships.
Yeah, I'm using rows.
And the pilot skill 4 is not good for slam reposition.
No,
because
not.
You're not really beating anybody initiative. So the whole point to a gunboat is its massive ability to reposition. And you're not using it.
But it's also really hard to get mods for the torpedoes with it.
That's where the name pilots kick in. Because you can throw expertise on the pilot skill 7.
Here's the top 10 pilots. In first place is Lauric.
Look at how that is.
I don't get it.
It.
Worth the points.
I know why. Because
it's furry.
Because
of the build?
No, it's the reinforce action. The reinforce action is disgusting on these things.
No, but
you reinforce the front and then you're blocking one damage on every attack.
With Lorik, he can use his reinforce for other people.
Yeah, so when you
spend it.
Yeah, it's gone.
The ship is way tankier than it seems because it's basically blocking one damage of every attack you make.
Neville threw everything at it. It took like 3 rounds.
Yeah. Mm. No, but you see, there were a few times when you got it where there was no reinforcement. You either got in the outside of its reinforced arc or when it just didn't have a reinforce at all.
Second place, reinforce
is what pushes it over.
Second place, Sheathapeed Fenrau, former first.
Of course.
Yeah.
Third place, you've got Miranda Doni.
Of course.
Fourth place, you've got Ezra Bridger.
Yep. Ezra's just disgusting.
Fifth place, you have Rebel Nim.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Sixth place, you have Zeb in the attack shuttle.
Yeah, that's
rear gun.
Yeah, he's just there for the ghost.
You don't have Zeb. You have a guy sleeping in the rear arc.
Yeah. Zeb's just there for the ghost time.
And then Imperial Quick Draw comes in at 7.
Yeah.
And then the next Imperial one's far away because everybody likes to shoot twice. Number 8, Lothal Rebel.
Yeah, that's the ghost.
At 9, bringing into the top 10 for the first time in a while, Poe Dameron.
Nice. Dang. Wow. Very nice.
Are we talking pilot skill 9, Poe?
PS 9, of course.
Yeah.
Finishing out the top 10 is his on-screen love interest, who's not his love interest. It's Rey. You kind of thought they would end up together, because that just... But I like how they're breaking all
look,
the...
The problem is Rey actually doesn't really fit very well into Elizabeth Poe, because Poe eats way too many points on that T-70. That thing is hungry for points.
Also, I'm not 100% Poe.
I just want to make it known.
Swings that way.
Yeah. I am pretty sure he does.
If you read fan fiction, you're absolutely right.
But he did have that wink at Rey at the end of The Last Jedi. And there was this look on Finn's face. He's like, hey, what are you doing, Poe?
I'm sorry. Watch the movie. BB-8 says to Poe, Finn is walking around naked leaking water, and Poe just fucking ran. Poe was like, what? Finn naked? Yes!
He and didn't even do his poop flight checks.
He didn't even say that, though. He did a whole bunch of beeps and boops.
Yeah. No, but Finn, exactly. Poe goes, what? Yeah. Poe goes like, what? Finn?
Naked.
Running around naked? Yes. Runs.
Just tosses his helmet at the protest.
That does kind of sound like his friend's having a real problem with explosive bombs.
And then just outside the top 10 at number 11, it's the Swiss Army knife of the scum. It's Thweek.
Thweek is a good ship.
Thweek is so surprising in a build.
Yeah, because he can steal your best pilot ability, your best pilot skill. He's really, really good.
Number 15. Crimson Specialist. That's the
resistance.
Are you kidding me? I fucking hate that ship.
I was surprised it comes to the bomb that generates.
That ship is so bad.
No. How is it there?
No, that is its position.
Let's see what builds we can find.
Yes, please look at the builds, because how is that ship making it anywhere near the top 50? I hate that ship.
Because when you fly it, you have to set it on fire.
That ship is so bad.
I've flown it twice, I think, or three times. It's never done anything.
Just a lot of people flying it, but it's currently Hanover System Open. Out of 397 players, damn it, we don't have a lot of players.
Jesus.
Swiss 15th and Cut 4.
Jesus.
So that was the Crimson Specialist. Let's see, we've got...
I've made a mistake.
Trajectory Simulator, Deflective Plating, and Bombard.
I don't even make it into the top 120, my list that I came second
with the Grey Squadron pilot.
Wow.
Miranda Daddy. Mine's on there somewhere.
Call anybody out. Flying mine.
So if Miranda's on the team, she's pretty much carrying the team.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Miranda is far too good of a ship, in my opinion.
Again, I don't get it. Like, I've never struggled.
The thing is, it's less whether it's beatable, and it's more the effect the ship is having on the meta. But if we're going with that, Fenn's more of a problem, admittedly.
The average percentile is a not too embarrassing 37.82. I mean, if you look at Larrick, he's at 39.5.
So it's pretty close.
Fenn is at 44.61, and he's
Fenn. I gotta say, Fenn and Ezra, the Sheetapede. Let's just call it. The Sheetapede is definitely warping the meta somewhat. It's far too good of a ship, and this is coming from a player who fucking loves the shit out of Strezzer Rebels.
So that's
that is far too good.
Normally, in a war game, when something's too strong for the meta, they will nerf it.
Yeah.
But X-Wing's never done that. They did it to the Punishing One, I guess.
They fucking nerfed the Punishing One four times.
But
this time, no.
So they could do it for the Sheetapede.
I gotta say, they have to do something, because the Sheetapede is definitely... It's mainly Fenn.
Generally, they just release something that counters that meta.
They counter it. That's what we know standard. But every now and again, they have realized they done goofed hard.
Why does the Sheetapede have a rear arc?
So it can shoot the pilots in the ghost.
Just story-wise, I don't remember having
from a fun perspective. The Sheetapede has no turret on top.
It's got no
guns on the back.
So why does it
take out the spacesuit on, open the hatch, and pull out a pistol and shoot it? Have you seen it's only got two red dice?
Yeah. Take out the rear arc, and suddenly that thing becomes much less scary with Finn.
It becomes very, very weak without its rear arc.
And the same with Ezra, because Ezra relies on getting arc on you to get the shot and trigger R3A2.
So take out that rear arc, and suddenly the Sheetapede starts dropping.
That's
but they won't take that out. What they're allowed to do is do a points adjustment. Which they haven't really been keen to do.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is remove slots, or they'll take something out. You gotta look at the nerfs that they have issued before.
What's the remove the arc is they've printed all the little plastic cardboard things.
Yeah.
What's the arc? But what's
the pilot talents? That's what they like to do.
Yeah. You find that Fenn Rao's one will switch to be more situational.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Ezra's a bit harder to fix.
Similar to what they did to Biggs.
Yeah, they might even. Okay, I don't think they'll remove the astromech slot, but they might. You know, they'll look at changing it to more situational. Yeah. More than.
I'm not sure what they could do to rein in Ezra, because he dishes out stress so easily. He dishes out stress far easier than Braylon, dude.
Yeah.
And
that's okay, I'll just take a Raider against him, it'll be
you
fine.
You released his Sheathapeed title, maybe, saying if you want to use the rare art, spend this much.
See, but the Sheathapeed's already got
already
a title
printed.
Because
yeah,
of
the
yeah,
the
title and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to tackle it, but it's also... The funny thing is, the ship itself is not over the top. The thing is, it combos well into a list.
That's the thing. It's such a good support ship that
it fills in a lot
in,
of
yeah.
roles.
That's
so. Yeah. Just on face value, the Sheathapeed. Like I've one-on-one one of those, and they are rubbish. Like literally
yeah,
rubbish.
Yeah, they are. They cannot stand. But I mean, I swapped from Balin to Ezra because Ezra is dirt cheap, and I've loaded him with flipping. Pulse Ray Shields, Hera. I've loaded out Ezra fairly intensely compared to my Braylon build, but he's just so much cheaper.
Yeah.
So the affordability of the ship is
yeah,
also
but
a big factor.
The arc is one more survivable and can take more damage, and
well,
two outputs more damage.
The thing is, with Ezra, is I don't think I call Braylon more survivable. Having flown them both quite a lot, Ezra, with the free focus on all his defense dice, is actually... he's hard to take down. Braylon has to absorb damage, but Ezra, he absorbs a fair bit with his evade dice.
My standard tactic is ignore him until he's the last ship. Because
yeah, that's how you fight him.
Or shoot
every
him
time,
with lasers.
Yeah.
You do the opposite with Finn.
No.
You shoot Finn first.
Yeah,
at range one.
The times I've lost with Strezra, it's because my opponent didn't go for Strezra. They just completely ignored him.
It depends on the list you're flying. Some lists do not need that extra stress tokens. Like Milus,
I did it the other way around. But
Milus has a problem when you deal
the
extra stress tokens.
That's the thing, yeah.
So what I'll do is I will get into his side arc, ion him, which puts him under my control, because
yes.
Then he's stressed and he's ion, so he's got nothing. He's just going one forward. And I can drop bombs on him and I can do all sorts of things to send that.
But Ezra is not the bite in those lists.
No.
He's good, but...
all he does is he plays with your ability to do things while the ghost does the damage. It's the same
yes.
with the Fenrir build. Finn is just messing up your ability to do stuff, and the ghost is doing
Finn,
all of the work.
Finn does a lot more damage than Strezra, though. He does a lot more damage
Finn
than
neuters a team. That's what Finn does.
Finn says you're not allowed any mods.
That's not damage. He, like I said, he fucks with what you're doing. He doesn't damage you. The ghost is doing all the damage. Finn just says... you're not getting any modifiers, so...
Finn prevents me from taking down the ghost.
Yeah, losing the mods is massive. Dice mods are the king of X-Wing.
What's the current meta?
Yeah, exactly. You can't... If you lose your dice mods,
it's
really, really bad.
I moved away from evasion.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't really
rely on evade dice. So
but I can throw 5 reds down your throat with an almost 100% in
92.5 is the best ratio, the best percent chance you can get to hit. Just by simply target locking focusing.
Well, then
that's it.
TIE fighter, no. The TIE interceptor fix I want is I want a target lock for evading. Easy.
Well,
let me re-roll my evades.
Yeah, there we go. That's what we need.
That would actually be pretty cool.
Like,
evasion computer.
They haven't really
made anything that re-rolls evade dice.
Nothing serious.
There's some pilot skills and stuff.
Yeah.
Finn adds a green dice.
Mm.
And
Ray, and when combined with Ray, you can re-roll 2 of them.
Mm.
So
the game
so that is pretty solid
offense,
there.
Not defense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
it always has
games last forever.
If you just look at raw dice, even unmodified, you're looking at you've got a 3 in 8 chance of evading compared to a 50% chance of hitting. It's just on raw dice. It's weighted towards shooting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
coming back to the new stuff. I'm very much looking forward to the TIE Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
I have purchased 2 additional TIE Strikers so that I can run a sort of movie pretty Reaper and 3 Strikers.
Whoa. Oh, I already have 2 Strikers.
That's okay. So. I'm tempted to run 2 X-Wings and a U-Wing. Like, I'm loving some of the new U-Wing builds. I've looked at some very silly ones.
You're looking forward to Saw.
Saw is crew card. I'm absolutely loving him. He's going straight on to Nora Wexley.
Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna
There's a Ewing build. I had a look at it. So you take Hef, right? Hef Tobler, and what he does is he's pilot skill 3, and if you bump him, he gets to perform an action. So you give him the upgrade that gives him 2 mods. So you give him anti pursuit lasers.
So when you bump him, he shoots. He can do damage. You give him an ion projector, so when you bump him, he ions you. And then you give him a saboteur, so when you bump him, he does an action, which is to flip your damage card face up.
Wait, why not put on Boshek?
Yeah. Why not put on Boshek?
You could fit Boshek in, because you can take two crew slots.
Yeah, so if I can put on Boshek and just... boop, 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 boop.
At which point your partner is just not happy with you.
So Director Krennic.
He's great.
Imperial Only, during setup, before the Place Forces step, assign the optimized prototype condition to a friendly Galactic Empire ship. Be specific.
Yes.
Old you bubble, can't, not no FO. Forced orders.
No.
With three or fewer shields, which is... most very, of. Very many options.
Yeah. Most Imperial
ships. I think the only tie that can't take it is the... defender.
No, the tie is three.
Yeah.
So three or fewer.
Oh shit.
So three or fewer. Wow. So it's really just your big stuff.
You're skipping the defend.
Bomber is also three shields.
Type bomber is zero shields.
No, the type punisher. He's talking about the punisher.
Optimize prototype. Firstly, increase your shield value by one. Amazing.
Oh wow. That is really cool.
And once per round, nice when performing a primary weapon attack, you may spend one die result to remove one shield from the defender. So, yeah. Blank, it's a result, which means blanks exactly. count too. This blank means you have one issue.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to put Krennic on a striker. Yep. Specifically, countdown.
No, you're going to put Krennic's thing on a striker.
Yes, I'm going to put Krennic's condition on
and
countdown.
And yes, Fish, he can go on the Absalom.
Darth Vader, right... with advanced targeting computer, I roll my two dice at you. I remove this one dice because it missed, right? And you lose a shield. One of them was maybe a hit, hopefully. And the other one is a crit. It's just free shit.
It's surprising when you look at how poorly Krennic and Darth Vader got along in the movie. How well they work in the game.
Well, yeah, you can just imagine Darth Vader showing up and being like, I'm taking you a prototype. But you can't, I'm in charge of this. And he's like, don't joke on your aspirations, Krennic.
That's brilliant. Also, don't joke on coffee.
True. Darth Vader, the king of the bad
Rooms. The new upgrades have a lot of excitement going on. Oh, we have passed the 1 hour mark.
Yeah.
And we have basically said everything we wanted to say.
We talked about the game.
We talked about new stuff. Alistair swore a lot.
I swear a lot in general.
You fucking wanker. Fuck that language.
Parental guidance is advice.
Actually,
let's try that again.
Not parental violence. Yeah, because that's a no-no.
Parental violence is advice.
That's a no-no.
Thanks, guys.
Parents, if you have any small children listening to this, you should have actually taken them away before we started talking.
Yeah, how about that noise?
And now you know.
Send a complaint
and
emails
to... And
no
only character.
The public protector?
The public protector.
I'm sure she has the time.
Yes.
But thank you all for listening to us womble on.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll do the next one in not too long.
True.
Send fan art to
the public protector.
She might be weirded out.
What is this shit on my desk?
I'll add some kind of email address to the total if somebody wants to complain about the amount of times Alistair
It should
swore.
Be the public protector at Coleman.
Also, I'm going to make a little bit of a statement that's probably going to get cut out. We are going to post our lists underneath this
There will be a
podcast.
Link to our lists, at least.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We have
actually.
Our own
I
website,
like
www.molemen.co.za.
I know, right?
I'm so glad no one was talking when you said that.
Me too.
Yeah.
And if you want to complain, there's a contact sheet on the website. Ha!
There we
good.
Go.
Good, so only Carrot can read.
But how will they submit the fan art?
They'll submit a request to submit fan art.
And the fan fiction?
The fan fiction...
Please don't.
Please
don't.
Please. Actually, if you want to submit fan art, put it on the web, add the link to your complaint or your compliment. And we'll have a look at it and we'll whip it out, metaphorically, during the next podcast and say who our favorite commenters and artists were.
So, fans, what you just heard is put a link in your emails to some random thing. Carrot will click on it and print it for you.
I'll not print it for you, I'll print it for them.
However, we will have Dylan check the content before Carrot prints.
So I will forward the mail to That's Dylan fine. First.
Good but, luck, everybody.
Okay, so this has been me,
his
Carrot
or
slash Carrot.
Sacrifice.
And Kevin.
Sean.
Dylan Dodo.
Gregory Valentinez, Alcalanella, George Blue, Stradivari, Gambulino, Hector, Duitzel, Kaiser III.
Alistair.
And Fish.
Thank you for listening, and we're sorry for offending everyone.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.